Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Canaan, because I'm destined for that destination on purpose, by purpose. If I can draw your attention to verse 17, where Paul says, yeah, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I'm also praying that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the glory, riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. How many of you in here know that someone is praying for you? I mean, you know someone is praying for you. Not someone prayed for you. Someone is praying for you. Raise your hand right now. Somebody is praying for you, all right? That's awesome. That's amazing that so many of us are saying, yeah, I know somebody's praying for me. I got a mom that's praying for me. I got a brother that's praying for me. I got somebody that prays, and I know they pray for me. I don't know about you, but when I find somebody that's a prayer warrior, I say to them, hey, listen, can you pray for me? When I find somebody that knows how to pray, I like to give them little lists, give them little stuff to pray for me. When I find folk that get up early in the morning and go on mountains and go walking and talking to God, I say, listen, while you're talking to the Lord, can you pray for me? Can you talk to God on my behalf? It is powerful to know that someone has prayed for you. One of the things that I see in the scriptures is that not only can we say, all right, my grandmama prayed for me, or I grew up and I had a great grandmama that used to get up in the morning and walk around praying. I just remember that. And so I know she was praying for me, and I know that her prayers are still working. I know that her prayers are still working for my good. As a matter of fact, I know there's some stuff I didn't deserve, but I got it because prayer made a way for me. Early service, there's some stuff I got and I didn't know why I got it, but then when I thought about it, I remember my grandmama walking around saying my name, and the prayers that she prayed are still working. They're still knocking walls down, not just my prayers. I can then go ahead and start praying for my children and my children's children. I don't have to do all the praying for myself. My grandmama prayed for me. To be able to see that a prayer from the past is still affecting the future generation. Prayers like that. When I look at the Bible, one of the things that I see is I see that not only is the Bible a great account and commandments and promises, but the Bible is also full of people that prayed prayers and particularly prayed for us. Jesus in John 17, I've preached it before, I read it before. Jesus prays for us. That prayer is still working. So if you, right now, even if you're watching or thinking, hey, is somebody praying for me? It's okay. Jesus prayed for you. Here, the Apostle Paul is saying he's praying for saints. I join with him. I'm praying for you on the regular, on the ride in. I'm praying for you. I'm praying you'll come to church. I'm praying you'll get up. I'm praying you'll tune in. I'm praying Paul's prayer. And when I look at the Apostle Paul's prayer, and really, I'm going to go ahead and throw my name in there with it, even though I don't dare deserve to be in the same like or standing with the Apostle Paul. But I'm going to go ahead and say, Paul, the Apostle Paul's prayer, Pastor Andy's prayer for WOCC, for everybody that's watching live stream around the world, what's my prayer for you? I can break it down. Paul says, yeah, I keep praying. I didn't just pray once. I keep praying. I keep asking. Ever since I heard about your faith, I keep praying. I keep asking. I'm not going to stop praying till God answers my prayer. Paul says, I keep praying. I want you to know, I didn't just pray for you one time. I'm still praying for you. I keep asking God to do something for you. Not just praying for myself. I keep asking that God will do something for you. And he says in verse 17, and I'll break it down real quick and throw it on the screens. He says, number one, A, the first thing he says is, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So the first part that he prayed for us, I'm praying for you, is that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In that order, I'm praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In that order, I'm praying that the Spirit of God will rest on you. I'm praying that as a result of you being in this service, we're praying in, on Saturday mornings, walking around touching chairs, so that when you come in here and sit your hips in that seat, that the Holy Spirit will come on you, that the Spirit of God will be on the inside of you. And as a result of the Spirit, God will give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want you to get wisdom even before you get revelation, because if you get revelation first without wisdom, then you won't know what to do with the revelation that you gain. You got to get some wisdom first before you break out and get all this revelation. Before you do a whole lot of praying for an angel to appear to you and tell you something, I would suggest that you get into the Proverbs and get into the Word and get some wisdom in you, so that when you get your revelation, you'll have the wisdom to walk it out. There's almost nothing scarier than saints with revelation with no wisdom. And one of the reasons why folk don't really want to hear a whole lot from church folk anymore is because we got a whole lot of revelation and not a lot of wisdom. And we did not apply our revelation in the right way. As a matter of fact, we started to apply our revelation to people who don't know God. And we began to have an expectation for the country to live something that we are struggling to live. So we got to get wisdom first before we get the revelation. But I'm asking that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm praying that you'll have an uncanny wisdom. I'm praying that you'll know stuff you couldn't possibly know. I'm speaking that. I'm praying that something will say, I'm praying that God will give you witty inventions and creative ideas. I'm praying that your mind will always have something, that you will never be, you'll never run dry of wisdom and intelligence. I'm praying that your wisdom will be impressive. I'm praying that the Lord will reveal stuff to you. I'm praying that you won't be able to go nowhere without hearing God talk to you. I'm praying that every time you go to the movies, you'll hear God talk to you. I'm praying that every time your six-year-old says something, you'll hear the Holy Ghost. I'm praying that wisdom and revelation will be with you all the time, not just here. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. I'm praying that you will seek wisdom, because it's the principal thing. I keep asking God that. Number two, I keep asking God that he'll give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. I'm praying that you will know God better. I pray that you will know him better, because there's nothing like knowing him. There's nothing like knowing him. I think one of the great challenges of being a man of God, being a pastor, being a minister, is that you have to be very careful not to, I'm very sensitive about becoming some idol in between God and the people. It is something I'm extremely sensitive about. I get cool with people, I get close, I have relationships with people, but I want to be careful. You can't chase a man. You got to chase God. You can't be at this church because of a man. You got to be at this church because of God. You got to be somewhere because there's a vision. You got to be somewhere because you hear a word. You can't be somewhere because it's popular. You can't be somewhere just because there's somebody that you like. You can't be somewhere just because you feel guilty and you like them a lot. It's not enough. Praise God for that, but that's not a good reason. That's building a church on a man and not building a church on the kingdom. I want you to know God better. I want you to have relationships with people to help you know God better, because there's nothing like knowing him. Early service, talk to me. Nothing like knowing him. Nothing like knowing him for yourself. Nothing like having a conversation with him by yourself. Nothing like knowing him. Paul said, I consider everything rubbish in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. They are nothing that I may gain Christ and be found in him, with a knowledge and a wisdom that's not on my own, but that comes by faith, that I may know him. Even if my sufferings help me know him, that I may know him. Even if my struggles help me to know him, that I may know him. Even if stabs in my back from Judas, that if that helps me to know him, then I know him. Even if persecution and lie happens, I can say, well, then I know him better, that I may know him. My greatest prayer is for you to know him. Nothing would make me happier than for you to get home today and for the Lord to show up in your living room, for the angel to show up in your, for the Holy Ghost to show up in your real living room and say your name and speak to you. Nothing's more powerful than you knowing him. Don't know me better than you know him. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Don't you dare know Pastor Al better. Don't know First Lady. Don't know Elder Paul before you know him. Know him for yourself. Should nobody be able to talk you out of a relationship with God? Because you ought to know him. I pray that you'll know him. I pray that the, I'm sorry, this is not even my message, this is just the appetizer. I pray that the eyes are going to move. I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your soul, the eyes of your mind will be enlightened. The eyes of your heart, the eyes of your soul, the eyes of your mind. When the word talks about your heart, it's talking about your soul, it's talking about your mind, the thinking part of you, where your emotions are. I pray that that part of you will be enlightened. We talked about this on Wednesday night. We talked about light within. That Jesus said, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? But if the light on the inside is right, then it's the same as if light is shining on you. That you can get to a place where if inside you is dark, doesn't matter what kind of light we shine on you, you'll still be walking in darkness. You may be in the light on a Sunday, but Monday and Tuesday will be dark. But if you can ever get light on the inside, then light on the inside is equal to light shining on you. That the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your mind, that your emotions will be moved by an enlightenment. That you won't react so quick because the lights are on. You won't be sad so long because the lights are on. I don't know why I'm just on this. I'm trying to move. That you won't be so discouraged because the lights are on. Folk won't be able to get you mad so quick because the lights are on. People won't be able to get under your skin so easily because the lights are on. You'll be able to see this ain't even them. This is the devil. This ain't even them. This is the enemy trying to block me from what God is getting ready to do. That you won't even be that upset about what they do because you know, as a matter of fact, if this kind of hell is broken loose against me, God must be getting ready to do something on my behalf. I must be closer than I thought. Can I say something? You must be closer than you thought if all hell's breaking loose. That the eyes of my inner man will be enlightened. And then the final part is saying, so that you will know the hope to which he has called you, that you will know the inheritance that you have as a saint, that you will know the incomparably great power that you have access to. I'm praying that the eyes of your inner man will be enlightened so that you'll see hope. You'll always have hope. We have this hope as an anchor to my soul, that I can keep hope alive, that I can always expect stuff can get better, that I will never give up, that this house can get better, that this marriage can get better, that school can get better, that this country can get better, that this church can get better. It may not be better yet, but it can get better. Hope is helpless. Hope is an expectation of good, that I expect that something is going to happen. That's why I didn't even plan it, but they said, I'm expecting my miracle any day now. I'm expecting God to move any day now. I'm expecting a healing in my body any day now. So that I have a hope that I know I have an inheritance. I'm a child of the King, that I understand that I have access to blessing and access to more and access to greater and access to power, his incomparably great power, his power that cannot be compared, his incomparably great power for everybody who is a believer. Anybody a believer? I said anybody a believer. Come on, early service. I know you're a believer. If I'm a believer, then I have access to power that is incomparable. I have access to power that cannot be compared. I have access to power that will make people say, wow, how did you do that? I have access to power that will make people say, man, That reminds me of the power that God exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That means that it's talking resurrection power. That even if your career looks dead, God can resurrect it. That though it be dead, yet shall it live. That I can call things that be not as though they were. That I can speak life into my teenager and life into my marriage and life into my money and life into my church and life into my business. Even if it looks dark, I'll call it light. Even if it looks messed up, I'll call it better. Because if I'm a believer, then I have access to a power that cannot be compared. It's an incomparably great power for those of us who believe. In other words, I'm praying, in other words, and I'll throw this on the screen. I pray, in other words, that you will surrender to God's control. I pray that you will surrender to God's control, that you will say, God, have your way. If nothing else, I'm praying that you leave out of here saying, God, have your way. God, have your way. Lord, you go ahead and have your way. Something comes your way, you say, God, have your way. Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. It's the thing I pray the most. Lord, just let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done. God, have your way in this church. Lord, have your way in every one of these seats. Lord, have your way in the life of everybody that's in this room. Lord, have your way that you will surrender your life to God's control. I recently, bought this used Tesla. If you see this, it says this Tesla is brand used to me. It's not new, it's brand used. And I bought myself a brand used Tesla. Oh, hallelujah. And then I bought my wife one. Hers is even older than mine. Jesus, help us. Hers looks real good, but hers is even mine. Hers is a 15, mine's a 16. I don't know if you know anything about these Teslas, but one of the things the Tesla has is it has this autopilot feature. You click something twice, and it just steers itself. Every now and then, once I click, and it steers itself, but it won't take exits. There have been times when I've been driving it, put the autopilot on, grab my phone, do whatever, and I'm looking at it, and then I see my exit coming, and then when I go to take my exit, because the car is in autopilot, for just a second or two, it's trying to stay in the lane. It's trying not to crash. It's trying to go the way it thinks it's supposed to go, and there's a little bit of a wrestle, just for a second, just a little bit of a wrestle before it lets go and lets me go where I want to go. I wonder how much of a wrestle does God have with us? Are we so on our autopilot for our destiny or what we think we're about that the Lord is saying, can I get control of the wheel for a second and take you the best way? When we say God is in control, we have to realize that we still have free will. And it don't matter how much control God has if you don't surrender to that control. You want God to be in control. You want God to have his way in your life. You want his purpose to trump yours. You want his purpose. That's why I read Romans 8:28, because Romans 8:28 says, yeah, all things work together for the good of them who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 gives us an incentive to surrender to God's control. He's saying, listen, if you can ever just surrender to his control, then everything will work for your good. Everything will work for your good if you can be called according to his purpose. Let me give you just a couple of thoughts on the benefits of God's control. The benefits of God's control. And I'm going to give you just a few thoughts, 3-4 thoughts. I'll put them on the screens for you if you're taking notes. And everybody should be jotting something down, writing something down. This class. The benefits of God's control, okay? Really quickly, God should be in control. Tell somebody God should be in control. Come on, tell somebody else, say, hey, other neighbor, let God have his way. If you're talking to a chair, say, hey, chair, let God have his way. Chair be full. Let God have his way. Stop saying empty chair in this early service. We want this early service as jammed as the second. Let God have his way. To surrender your life to his will and his way. It's what it means to be saved. To let him have his way. What are the benefits to God's control? Let me give you just these four. Benefits to God's control. Number one, the first benefit to God's control is that it is the normal way to become a child. It's the normal way to become a child. 1 John chapter 3 says, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. How did you become a child? You became a child by someone else's idea. You didn't ask to be born. You're here because your parents' will got together. And that's how you were birthed into the earth. I know we like to think that we got saved, but a part of the reason why the word says, no, you were chosen. You were predestined before the beginning of time began, because the Lord wants to say, wait. You are not in control of this thing, because if you're in control, then you're not my child. You didn't choose me, I chose you and called you to bear much fruit, fruit that will remain. So if we want to be children of God, then we have to surrender to the idea that I didn't get saved, God saved me. I didn't have enough sense to come, he called me. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be here. Whole lot of folk heard the message and didn't get saved. Somehow God orchestrated. Somehow God reached down on the inside of me. Somehow God pulled me in because he wanted to birth me so that Jesus would be the firstborn of many brethren. I can't be a child of God, and I was the one that made the decision. No, you're here because you're called to be here. You can't come to the Father unless the Spirit draws you. Second reason why you want to surrender to the control of God or the benefits of God's control is that it prepares me for the rest of this journey with him. It prepares me for the rest of this journey with him. I have to understand, if I'm going to walk with him, then he's going to steer. If I'm going to ride with him, we're going to go his way. If I'm going to have a relationship with him, then he's going to say where we go. If I'm not ready to surrender, then I'm not ready for him to walk with me. If I'm not ready for him to tell me what to do, then I'm not ready for none of his money. I still have children that ask me for money. I know nobody knows what I'm talking about. I still have children that ask me for money. And I say, what's this money for? Because if you're not going to tell me what my money is for, then you ain't getting none. Now, if you tell me what it's for and I don't agree, and then I want to give you counsel and wisdom on what to do with my money, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start giving you wisdom and counsel on what to do with your money. Because really, your money is really my money. God, I wish I had. Just because you got a job don't mean that's your money. Because if you pay me rent to live in this, oh my Lord, you won't have no money. Don't act like you got money. That if I want God to provide, then he has to have say if he's going to provide. I'm not ready for the journey with him if I'm not ready for him to be in control. Every now and then someone will come to me and say, oh, I want you to mentor me, or I want you to be a spiritual father. A lot of folks, I want you to be, as I guess I'm getting older, help us, Holy Ghost, I want you to be a father to me. I want you to, can you be a father to me? And I'm just like, Lord, I mean, I have a capacity of how many children can I actually have? Good God, I don't want to spread myself too thin, but can I mentor you? Can I, especially pastors, can you give? I'm like, yeah, okay, but just understand, don't come here if I'm not going to have some, if I don't have some say, then you can't come here. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't be covered and independent. So you won't have the covering when you want and then be independent when you want. Wait. If you in, you in. If you down, you down. If I say I got you, then I got you. You have to trust. You can't say I got you. You can't be a part of the pack and a free wolf at the same time. If you surrender to the power of God and to his provision, especially, then understand that he gonna have some say. It just leads to the third thing, and that is that his authority is his responsibility. His authority is his responsibility, meaning I can rest. There's actually less stress if God is in control. It's less stressful for me to just say, well, God, have your way. Well, Lord, this is not working out the way I wanted it to work out. But God, this is your life. This is your church. This is your company. This is your marriage. Lord, I gave this marriage to you. Doesn't mean I don't have any responsibilities in it, but Lord, I gave these teenagers to you. Lord, I want you to have your way in their life, that it's less stressful when it's his responsibility, when it's his authority, because authority and responsibility go together. Authority and responsibility go together. That is a result of the responsibility of God. He has authority in it, and he can't have authority and not have responsibility. He can't have responsibility and not have authority. It's why the word Paul says, yeah, I'm a slave to Christ. The Lord is the owner. I'm just doing what he's calling me to do. I'm just trying to be obedient to his will. That obedience is freeing if you really understand it. Right now, there's some stuff going on with me that I can't even talk about, but it looks like there's some opportunities, and maybe I may be able to work for this person. And I had a meeting with them, and they met with me, and they wanted to know, like, okay, if you come to work for me in this capacity, I'm trying to see, will you be able to follow a schedule? Can you do what you're asked to do, and can you do what you're told? And I said, I just want you to know, I get plenty of being boss. I get to be boss. I'm already in charge. I get to be in charge. Sometimes when you're in charge a lot, you're comfortable in someone else just directing. Is there anybody else that can just tell me? Sometimes I get afraid. I don't want to be the smartest person at work. I don't want to be the smartest person at World Overcomers. I don't want to have all the ideas. I want somebody to say, yeah, and can say to me, now, we need you to do this. And I can say, yes, thank you. I can do exactly what I'm asked to do, especially if you're going to have responsibility for it. That there is a real peace in resting in the authority of God. And then my last point, which maybe should have been my second point, but it comes full circle. My last point is that part of the reason why I wanna surrender to the will of God is because it is a second chance to be born. I get a second chance to be born. Not only is it a normal way to become a child of God, but I see this as my second chance at birth, meaning that I can be born with a purpose. I can be born with a purpose. Now, I don't know how you got here. I do not know how you got here. I know that your parents decided to have you, but God decided to send you. But I don't know how you got here. I would be willing to bet that most of us in here were not planned. Nobody wants to say amen on that one. I always was walking around talking about how I was planned because I'm the oldest, but I couldn't really say that because my parents got married at 21. My mama had me at 22. Does that sound like a plan to you? No. So I was saying, I'll plan. And my mother heard me say it one time. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I mean, at some point, you were going to have a first child. She said, yeah, and yes, Andy, no, Stephen, we were going to have a first child. But just stop telling everybody you was planned. Listen, boy, you are here. You are here on accident. You are here because something broke. I need a witness in there. My mama told me, you're here because it didn't work. I know nobody wants to say amen on that one, but you're here because I said, oh, okay. You're here because I thought you may not necessarily have got here the first time on purpose, but now under the will of God, you get to say, all right, the Lord has saved me for just such a time as this. The Lord has called me for just such a time as this. God in his infinite wisdom allowed me to be born in Philly, born in North Carolina, born in Africa, born in Tanzania, born in Mexico, and he has somehow orchestrated it for me to now be here because all things work for my good if I'm called according to his purpose. And now I realize that God has a plan, and God saved me for this reason. And Lord, shall I say, save me for this hour? No, it was for this very hour that I was brought into this place. Lord, glorify your name. That even the tragedy, babe, of how you were raised has now turned into something that you and this, y'all are working together because of what happened to you when you were a child. That there is a work for you to do based on what happened to you. Oh, my God. That God then makes sense of it. And you come out of drugs and start counseling people in drugs. You come out of abuse and start telling other people how to get over their abuse. You come out of hurt and start directing other people on how to get over their hurt. And you haven't really been healed of your hurt till you tell somebody else how to get over theirs. I need a witness in the building. It's why the Lord calls us to be fishers of men, because the circle is not completed until you're used. That what you went through makes no sense until you take it and turn it and use it. That little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Then all of a sudden, it makes sense. It makes sense why you was raised in the projects. It makes sense why your daddy left you. It makes sense why you were hurt in that way. You realize that the Lord did that because he wanted you to know what it was like to not have a father. So now when you're a father to the fatherless, you are able to now answer. He wants you to know maybe you didn't have the right kind of mama, but you were always wishing you had this kind of mama. And so now what are you doing? You have become the kind of mama you always wish you had had. Because God will take your mess and use it to bless somebody. My God, what the enemy means for evil, God can turn it around for good. Can I get a witness in here in the first service? Anybody can say, Pastor Andy, that is so true. I have found that I have been equipped for my mission as a result of what I came through. I wouldn't even have the weapons to fight that if I hadn't been through what I've been through. I am where I am, and I got what I got, and some of it is because of the tough stuff that I dealt with. It ain't all from the good stuff. Some of it is from the hell I went through. When I got through that hell, I can show somebody, see this scar right here? See this scar right here? See this scar right here? And look at how I'm walking. Look at what the Lord has done. And the same God that did this for me can do this for you. And you ain't come through it if you don't tell somebody that. If you are in this room and you are alive simply by the grace of God, if you are in this room and it wasn't for his mercy and his grace, you'd have lost your mind and you'd have lost your life and the enemy tried to take you out, but you're still standing. The Lord didn't just save you just for you to have life. The Lord saved you for you to tell somebody, the devil thought he had me, but I made it. I made it over. My soul looks back and wonders. How did I make it over? You're not really walking in your purpose if you don't tell somebody your testimony. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. We do a whole lot of talking, but one of the main things we should be saying is, can I tell you my testimony? Can I tell you my testimony? Can I tell you what great thing the Lord has done for me? You can't tell it. Let me tell it. You don't know like I know. Can I tell you? Can I have 5 minutes? Can I tell you where I was when he found me? Can I tell you where he was when he saved me? Can I tell you where he was? Can I tell you what I was going through when God got a hold of me? You ever do that, you'll see that it's all working for your good. Then you are really born again. You're not really born again if you don't allow what you went through to be a part of your future purpose. You're not born again. Part of the way to be born a second time is to say, all right, God's purpose has now been fulfilled in my life because I sat this person down. I told them what God did for me. Tears came to their eyes, and they looked at me, and I said, I'm not no better than you. And the same God who brought me through can bring you through. And the greatest thing that can ever happen for you is not for you to get to heaven, but for you to get there, for somebody to run up on you and say, listen, I'm here because you told me your story. I'm here because you told me your testimony. I'm here because you weren't ashamed to tell me how God stepped in your life and made a difference. I'm called according to his purpose. All things work together for the good of us who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I realized that the vehicle to Canaan is purpose. If I'm going to get to my Canaan destination, it's going to be purpose that gets me there. The vehicle to my Canaan is purpose. And I realize that there are several purpose vehicles that get me to Canaan. Purpose vehicles that get me out of Egypt through my wilderness and into the promised land. Canaan is my destination. I hope I'm going to be able to preach this message this good second time. I don't know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Y'all got to pray for 11:30. But the Canaan, I'm coming out of Egypt, breaking out of my slavery, coming through wilderness, going into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I realize that it is a vehicle that gets me there, and that there's a purpose vehicle that gets me there, and then I realize that there are these purpose vehicles. The Lord has given me 5 purpose vehicles to get me from Canaan, from Egypt into Canaan, and I can discover my purpose and walk in my purpose, and as a result of these purpose vehicles, the Lord will get me from here to there. I've got 5 of them, and to hear them, you will have to come back next Sunday. Same bat time, same bat channel. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord in here. Anybody hear a word from the Lord? Yeah, I'm going to leave you hanging. We're about to dismiss. We're about to pray. My wife, I'm like, baby, you're so right. If you're in this room and you're not a member of World Overcomers, if you've been coming, you've been visiting, some of you have been served, some of you have been giving, and you have never joined World Overcomers. People say, Pastor Andy, when are you going to open up the doors of the church? And I say, every first Sunday. And first Sunday come, and first Sunday go, and I don't know. So if you are here, you're saying, Pastor Andy, I want to be a member of this church. Before you close, I want to be a member. You can come down here and shake my hand, and we'll put you on the path to membership. Anybody saying, PA, that's me. I want to be a member of World Overcomers. I'm not a member. I want to be a member. I'm a join church today. Anybody saying, I'm joining church today? Come on, bro. Even if it's just one, come on down. I'm joining church today. Anybody else? I'm joining church. Somebody else is coming. This is my Sunday. Put your hands together for the rest. This is my Sunday, Pastor Andy. I'm joining church today. I'm not going to just be a visiting member. See, once one person comes, then a whole lot of folk come. I'm not going to be a visiting member anymore. Just come down here and face me. Bless you. I'm joining church today. Bless you. I'm joining church today. Bless you. Bless you. Just face me. Face me. I'm joining. Bless you, sweetheart. I'm joining church today. Bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you. Can y'all praise God? Folks, joining church today. Join the church today. Hallelujah. Sweetheart, join the church. Anybody else? Sweetheart, join the church. Shake the preacher's hand. Join the church today. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Ooh, I didn't shake your hand. Join the church today. You join the church today? Join the church today. Can y'all praise God for everybody that's joining church today? Come on, I want y'all to praise God. They're joining church today. Come on, really, praise God. Join the church today. I want to be a member of World Overcomers. Right. Everybody jump on your feet. Now listen, I'm saying this to y'all. I'm saying to everybody in the room. There's no such thing as a perfect church. Help us, Holy Ghost. No such thing as a perfect church. If you found a perfect church, you wouldn't want to join it because you'd mess it up. Because you're not perfect. I couldn't lead it because I'm not perfect. But we come together to walk in our purpose. And our prayer is that you will find your purpose in God. Not just to receive, but to give. Not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. Amen? We're going to pray. You see all these young ministers are giving you cards, and y'all going to fill this out. And they're going to take your cards. They're going to contact you. There's a new members class today after the 11:30 service. You can come back. If not, listen, these young guys are going to help you out. But we're excited that you came. Anybody hear word from the Lord today? Reach out, grab somebody's hand. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace towards us. Thank you for these people that joined the church today. Thank you for everyone that watched live stream around the world. Thank you for everyone that made it to First Sunday in August. Lord, we're coming down to the end of the year, and we are determined to walk in our Canaan. Thank you for these new members. Thank you for your hand that's on us for good. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our teenagers. Thank you, Lord God, for the power that's at work within us. Lord, thank you for this school that we've adopted. Thank you for thank you, God, that you're going to bless those. Thank you, Lord God. Test grades and scores are going to be higher than ever. Thank you, Lord God. We're going to be there for the day, for the fair. We're going to help the next generation walk in their purpose. Have your way in us. Use us for your glory. Thank you for every visitor that came to worship with us. God, bring them back again. Lord, bring us back on Wednesday. Thank you that angels are around us to guard us in all of our ways. Strengthen us by your power. And God, as we always pray, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock. You're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all sit together.